Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. You'll find all the TWiT shows on your Roku box, Android, and BlackBerry phones, and all Yahoo Widget TVs powered by MediaFly. For more information, visit twit.tv/MediaFly. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 69, recorded November 17th, 2010. The $100 thank you. This Week in Google is brought to you by Carbonite. Backing up the files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to carbonite.com. Offer code TWIG. And by Ford and the new 2011 Ford Edge. It grabs attention as well as it grabs the road and features available My Ford Touch to connect you to your vehicle in new and innovative ways. The 2011 Ford Edge. Drive one this week at a Ford dealer near you. And by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to twig.hover.com. It's time for Twig, This Week in Google, the show that covers the Googleverse, the Cloudverse, and any other stuff we want to talk about, including Glee. And here she is, our chief Gleek, Gina Tripani.
What's up?
From smarterware.org.
I'm high from our singing and dancing session.
You're just fortunate that Jeff and I happen to share your passion.
I am very fortunate.
Because otherwise we'd just be going, oh, come on.
I know. I love being with men who are not eye-rolly about my show.
Your passions.
I love for show tunes.
Yeah, well, I love The View, so there. Jeff Jarvis is also here. He is with BuzzMachine.com, a blogger and the author.
Baby, it's cold
outside. Oh, it's cold.
Nice.
You and I should do a duet.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's cold outside.
You could do like a tab versus iPad duet, you know, like the unboxing, the musical version of the unboxing or the reboxing.
See, we need to hire, I want TWiT to hire a promo director that would do this kind of stuff and say, okay, we're going to get Jeff, we're going to get you, and then does all the work because I don't want to do the work. Jeff's book, What Would Google Do?
Finishing the Tab.
Huh?
Sorry. Finishing the Tab.
Have I seen the Tab?
Oh, Finishing the Tab. Never mind. It was a Sondheim joke. Never mind.
Oh,
geez. Going too far.
You live in New York. I just here out in California. We don't have any culture out here. I thought you were talking about the Galaxy Tab, which I have seen, and I like a lot. In fact, you know, I was really prepared to think that the Android tablets were going to... Because Google kind of lowered the expectation, didn't they, when they said, oh, no, 2.2 is not a tablet OS. Wait till 2.3, Gingerbread. And now, actually, they're saying, now wait till Honeycomb 3.0. I would disagree heartily. The Tab, which is a 7-inch display, and Steve Jobs said nobody wants 7, is great because it's smaller than the iPad, a little more portable, and great. Boy, Galaxy Tab, the Samsung screen is not a AMOLED screen, but it's the best LCD I've ever seen, much better than the iPad. I'm sure it's similar technology, but I really think they did a nice job. Very bright, very crisp. And this was the issue I think a lot of people said, oh, no, the apps don't scale properly. I've run into very few apps that don't scale. Angry Birds looks great on it. It's just the right size for Angry Birds.
It must be a really good Angry Birds player. That's for sure.
Well, that's all we need. I don't know what else you would want.
Do buttons and tabs and things just sort of expand to fill? And it looks exactly. And do they lose... you know, are the designers in the room going to say they lose clarity or crispness in the expansion?
Those guys already hate the way Android
guys
looks.
They're not even looking at
We've lost the Grubers of the world a long time ago. Andy Inako said, he said on the MacBreak Weekly yesterday, Android looks like they just threw all the elements out onto the table and they just are kind of any. I disagree. I think it's very intuitive. I don't think it's ugly. It's the same thing Mac people used to say about Windows, you know?
It's not as precious.
That's good. I like it. I'll say that to Andy next time.
A good Glee word, yes.
It's not as precious. It's functional. It comes with a swipe keyboard, and I think a little more space. It's a lot easier. It's not as easy. It's not like the iPad where you have like almost a full-size keyboard.
So you can't do touch typing on it?
No, but you can because it's narrow enough. You can do thumb typing. You know, I mean, you can even hold it in one hand. Almost. This is not the. This is another one. This is a Arcos. This is the 70 internet tablet. This has Android 2.1 on it, I think, but I imagine they'll push 2.2 soon. Not as good a screen, in my opinion, as the Samsung. It is, which is new for Arcos. It is a capacitance screen. They do a lot of resistive screens. I think Arcos has done a very nice job as well, though. And this is cheap, $275 list for a Wi-Fi. And this is one of the things, Jeff, I know you really wanted Wi-Fi only because you don't want to pay
Wi-Fi only, and then I get a MiFi, get the right. Virgin $40 unlimited MiFi. Right.
Why pay for the carrier? You know, the carrier penalty.
You know, the one thing I was thinking about though is the T-Mobile one does give you MiFi capability.
Yes, and so as does the Sprint. I have the Sprint one. It also has tethering. Yeah,
so I can get that. But then, am I really going to haul it around? If I need my laptop on, am I going to haul out the tab to turn on the MiFi for my laptop? Versus just having that little tiny MiFi thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, at $275, this is a Wi-Fi only device. It's a lot. It's almost half what a Wi-Fi only iPad is. And I think that while I was initially skeptical about the size of the screen, I think it's actually very usable. I think you could do a lot of the things you do with the iPad with this. Now, some of the widgets are, as you can see, like the Google widget is weird because it's so small.
Right, so it doesn't stretch to fill the screen.
It doesn't stretch, although that's possible, and really that's an issue. In my opinion, that's an issue with the desktop, the presentation manager, because I know I use a third party one that allows me to stretch widgets. So
now is this the pure Android experience? You said the swipe is installed. Is there a skin? That looks very much
this
like my
not,
Nexus 1.
This is not this the Samsung. Arcos. This is the Arcos, and I think the Arcos is. I don't think Arcos has done any customization.
But it doesn't have the by Google or the Google stamp, right? Because they Google hasn't blessed any tablets yet.
No by Google.
Right,
no.
Right. Okay.
No by Google. It also has the buttons down here.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's just the right it's just the right size for Angry Birds, I have to say.
There's the Glee app, damn it. Where's the Glee app?
Well, there's a Glee seriously. App on the iPad.
There's a Glee app on the iPhone. Those bastards.
Yeah. I think that, now this, again, this is not the Samsung. This is the cheaper Arcos that doesn't require a 3G. So this is really, Arcos is doing some interesting things. But I love the Samsung Galaxy Tab. I have the Sprint one. The Sprint speed is great. It's just weird because it feels like you should be able to make phone calls, you know? I know it's
Why
big.
Why did you get Sprint?
That's just what I got a loaner.
Okay.
So these are all loaners. I know people don't like it when I take loaners, but I was frankly skeptical. I didn't want to buy an Android tablet. And now I'm absolutely convinced. Now, by the way, the Arcos comes in a lot of form factors. There is a 10-inch. That was the 7-inch. This one is a 4.3-inch. This is the same as the Evo or the Droid X. I don't know. It's in a, oh, there it is. This one these are cheaper screens. I think that's where they save money. But boy, if you want a Wi-Fi Android device, this is the 4-inch screen. Now get ready for this. This is basically iPod touch size. This is a 3.5. There's even a smaller one than this. Where's the on button? This is one problem with these is I never know where to turn them on. Maybe there isn't an on button. Oh, there it is. This is a resistive screen, but it looks, you know, it looks, by the way, camera, looks almost as good as the capacitance screen. And I tell you, when I started using it, I felt like, well, boy, that's a capacitive screen. He said, no. That's a resistive screen. Thanks to Charbacks, by the way, for bringing these all by.
So does that look so tiny because you just had the 7-incher in your hand, or is it actually
it's tiny.
Just really tiny?
It's smaller. Yeah, okay. Okay. I'll put the Droid X next to it. It's small.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
It's an iPod Touch competitor, basically, but with a full OS on it and a full browser on it, and get ready for this, $99.
No phone, though.
No phone. This is like a Touch.
It's Touch, okay.
But pretty pretty capable. These are all ARM processor, ARM-based processors.
You know, I'm working with somebody on a project that might require handing out devices to somebody when they come into an environment.
Right.
You could buy those things in bulk.
Sure.
Amazing thing.
Sure. I have to to rewind this video. See, when it gets this small, you can't. I can't rewind it. Oh well. Yeah, for $99, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. I don't. What is that? Is that GPS? Oh, what tethering. Tethering. Look at that. So you could have USB or Bluetooth tethering because it, you know, it doesn't. It would need the tether to get the connectivity. So anyway, there's the point is that these all these form factors are made possible because it's an open source OS. Yeah. And I think choice is great, and I think these are all surprisingly capable. I liked the Galaxy Tab a lot.
Yeah, those look really interesting. It's interesting they came out so soon. I'm being a little bit of a purist. I don't want to get an Android tablet until I have kind of Google's blessing of like, yes, this is what the tablet should be. I guess that's why I kind of stuck with the Nexus One too. Is I like to see just Google's prescription of what it should be.
Yeah.
But that's really cool and it's tempting. That shot of you playing Angry Birds on that big screen is tempting.
This is better for Angry Birds even than an iPad. I think it's just the right size. The iPad might be a little too big. It's also 16:9. Notice. Which means it's appropriate for video in a way that the iPad really isn't.
You know? Didn't you travel to New York with the iPad only, right?
Not I. Andy might have. Somebody did.
So I'm trying to imagine where this fits in. Is this going in my briefcase, in your pocket? It's a little too big for a pocket, right? I mean,
well,
this seems like
something
you grab.
I can take it in my pocket.
This is the size of a Kindle. Yeah. Exactly the size of a Kindle.
Okay.
So if you put the Kindle software on here, in some ways it kind of is a Kindle.
I'd buy this over Kindle in a second.
Yeah, it's a little more expensive, obviously, but it's a lot more capable. It's color.
It's touch.
I would say the Tab, if you didn't mind the 3G cost or you could find a Wi-Fi Tab, would be a very good alternative to a Kindle.
Mine just broke, so I gave me an excuse.
Yeah,
honey.
Honey.
So
now you know why, by the way, Amazon dropped Kindle prices to $130.
Didn't help me in my cause, I know.
Yeah.
Given the choice, you can only buy one iPad, Galaxy Tab, which is it?
Oh boy, that's tough. I think because of the range of software, you're still going to want the iPad. But
okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Depends what you're doing with it. I'm an Android fanboy, as you know. I really like the Android OS, and I'm baffled by all my Mac and iPhone friends who say, "Oh, it's just not as elegant, and it's not as the fit and finish, or it's not as good." It just doesn't to me. This maybe it is kind of the Windows versus Mac. It's the same thing as I said as a Mac user to the Windows people. Oh, you just wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have any taste. But to me, this is amazing. Look, if we'd seen this product 2 years ago, we'd be falling all over ourselves. At $275, falling all over ourselves. I'm talking about the Arcos now.
Yeah, well, that and the fact that you can get a tiny computer for what now? What's the lowest?
The $99 on that little one.
Yeah. That's just incredible, the computing power that is now in hands.
And I think that because these are multi-touch OSs from the get-go, I think that there is a difference between this and a tablet PC or a laptop. I mean, this is a mature product at this point, and it works pretty well.
Well, this is the case, and I know there's other products trying to do this for, I forget the name of it, for education, but every student in this country should have a device like that.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
They should be studying.
Yeah. I'm actually wondering if, I wouldn't want to do a lot of word processing, but then I don't want to do word processing on my iPad either. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm happier with the MacBook Air because it's got a real keyboard and it's about, you know, it's light and it's portable. And so that's what I want if I want to do that. I don't want an iPad. An iPad's way too much of a compromise for me. So maybe an Air and a Tab.
Ooh, yeah.
It does feel like, I got to say, it ought to have a phone in it, because then I could eliminate the phone.
Well, let me just ask. So you can't use...
you can use Skype.
A headset and Skype?
You can use Skype. And and presumably, Charbax is in our chat room, by the way, so if you have other questions for him, he's a guy, he's from Denmark. He was here for the ARM conference and brought all of these Arcos devices. Thank you, Charbax. If you were content with Skype or Fring or Google Voice to make your calls, I think it'll work. I think it'll work fine. I think that that's not, well, I guess, I, would it be inadequate? I guess it would. I mean, I, Google Voice is what rings on all my devices.
Yeah. You have the headset.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And the thing is, why carry a phone?
The call with Google Voice and the headset?
I mean, one of the reasons, yeah. One of the reasons I carry the Droid X is because it's as big as I can get and still have a, we talked about it, a breast pocket phone. But I might be willing to, yeah, you wear a blazer, right, Jeff?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, if you wear a blazer, this is fine. This is a pocket, perfect pocket size. If you don't wear a blazer, I guess you have to carry a man purse or something.
Wait, now can you can't receive Google Voice calls just over Wi-Fi yet through the app,
no.
Right? No, you cannot. You I didn't can't. Think so.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only.
Oh, I
issue.
See what you're saying. Yeah. Incoming.
Yeah.
Incoming by the way, in Europe they have hacked they actually can get the tab with phone support in Europe. Some of the European carriers do it, and somebody in the chat room is saying you can hack the tab in the U.S. to make it phone to phones because you have a phone number. You know, it's 3G. Yeah, it's a little big, but you don't. Yeah, you don't do that. You put a headset in.
Yeah, you put a headset in. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Well, part of the problem is you're buying a $40 maximum account for the tab. You're not putting in the $80 a month
right
SIM right. for a voice account.
That's right. How long before we don't need? We do everything over VoIP. We don't need a carrier. We don't need a cell carrier. We just need bandwidth. Then these devices, take your pick of the size you happen to like, are kind of everything you need, right?
We're there now.
We're very close.
So the next thing you want, I spoke to a bunch of phone executives, and I begged them to have an account with multiple SIMs. One account, multiple SIMs. So when I go into my car, there's a SIM in the car. That's my phone. When I'm home, there may be a SIM in the network. That's my phone. When I'm out with a phone, and I don't care. That's how Google Voice is meant to operate. The problem now, of course, is that they're forcing us to buy 5 accounts. And right. That's, you know, like I can see them saying that's nice while it lasts, but it makes no sense.
Eventually, they've got to, maybe not, who knows? I mean, who knows with these guys? But you would think eventually they'd have to, buck, you know, give in to consumer demand.
Yeah.
We're talking about Google. The Google with Gina Trapani, Jeff Jarvis. We thank our sponsors who make this show possible, including the folks at Carbonite. If you're going to go to the cloud, you should consider backup in the cloud, too. I know a lot of people use Google Docs kind of for backup because you can upload files, but it's onesie-twosie. It's not automatic. Think of Carbonite as doing that automatically, $55 a year for unlimited data, all the personal data on your internal drive. And the ability to restore it anywhere you can log in, including a free iPhone app, a free BlackBerry app. Now you're getting an idea what Carbonite is. Carbonite is backup done right. It's just awesome. I want to encourage everybody who listens to this show to give it a try. You're already kind of in the cloud, I'm sure. So Carbonite just makes a lot of sense. It's perfect for something like this MacBook Air. Immediately put Carbonite on it. So now anytime I'm online, even if it's at an insecure hotspot at the local cafe, because it's using 128-bit SSL, it's completely secure, backing up all the time, doesn't tie up my computer or my bandwidth, only when I'm not using it, and boom, everything is safe and secure and available for restore or download anywhere I can get online. Just a few clicks of the mouse. Mac or PC, $55 a year, but I can tell you how you can get it cheaper. You could try it for 2 weeks free if you go to carbonite.com, use the offer code TWIG. If you just, and I do like you to try the free trial of all our products. It's one of the reasons we make a big point of it. All our sponsors have free trials. Well, except Ford. Actually, Ford does. You can test drive, right? So even Ford, they don't give you it for a month, but you know, you could test. So, and the reason is, I think it really, this is our advertisers and our way of recognizing you're smart. We don't have to trick you into this. Just try it. See what you think. If you don't like it, no problem. No harm, no foul. But if you do, now you know this is what it does. This is how it works. So try it free, please. Carbonite.com, offer code TWIG. If you, no credit card needed or anything. If you decide to sign up, do use the offer code TWIG when you sign up for 2 months off the already low $55 a year. Carbonite.com. You got to back it up to get it back, so do it right with Carbonite. So Google got through. Did you see this? The iTunes Store, Google Voice for the iPhone.
Yeah, speaking of Google Voice.
They did it. And it's great. I used it. It does everything. When you make a call with it, it calls a Google number.
Mm-hmm.
Like a weird 916. First I thought, wait, no, that's not. I freaked out. I said, what are you calling? Stop. I don't know them. And then I realized it called the 916 number. using
routes you
and then routes you to the other call using your cell phone minutes.
Yes.
So this is probably why it's okay, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Google Voice app uses your minutes on Android devices too. But the voice app on Android devices kind of masks that intermediary number.
Right.
Right now, it didn't used to, but in the beginning, that is a little confusing. And for a while, I was using Google Voice, and I had two numbers. I had like people's Google Voice number, which is that unknown 916, and then their actual number, and that gets a little confusing. So it sounds like I haven't tried the iPhone app, but it sounds like it's pretty good.
It's complete, feature complete.
But I heard that it doesn't synchronize the inbox and that it doesn't quite integrate with the dialer exactly the same way it does in Android. But it sounds, besides that, it sounds really good. I didn't know what that meant.
Synchronize the inbox. Well, the inbox gets updated and downloaded. Maybe. Well, you know, I have that problem on Android, too. I'll delete something from the inbox on Android and then it comes back and gets it again and puts it back. Have you ever had that happen?
Interesting.
That
interesting.
Might just be a bug in Google Voice.
Yeah, so I'm looking at, I think it was Google Operating System said, Google Voice for iPhone doesn't beat the Android app because it doesn't integrate with the standard phone app.
It doesn't integrate, right.
Yeah, right. It doesn't synchronize the inbox and doesn't offer advanced options for notifications.
Right, that's
so I don't
true.
Know
but that's a limitation of the iPhone. You know,
right,
you
that's, and that's an iPhone limitation, yeah.
Sucky notifications on the iPhone. And it doesn't integrate. And, of course, Apple would never let it replace the visual voicemail that AT&T provides. But that's one, and that is one of the reasons I use an Android phone is the tight integration. I thought there was something interesting here. This is the Google Voice. And Google made, you know, the screenshots that Google included. I think this is a little slap to Apple. The date of them, July 6, 2009. That's how long we've been waiting for acceptance. They didn't update those. They thought,
from
well.
From John Lately.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Johnny Come Lately.
That was probably a coincidence. But.
I don't think so. I bet there's other stuff in here, too. That's interesting.
Well, if there's one thing Google has, it's a sense of humor. So wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, not at all. Anyway, that's good news. There may be some features. Apparently, notifications are supported in some of the third-party Google Voice apps. So maybe there are some reasons to take a look at those. But the Google Voice, the official Google Voice, is out free for the iPhone. Hallelujah.
Google Voice is awesome. I love it. I use it all the time. I really love it. And, I text from my computer a lot more now. Like, it's trained me. Mm-hmm. Like, I text with people while I'm at my desk.
I live in Gmail now because my phone's there. My SMS, I use the SMS extension. My chat's there.
Yeah,
so is Zuckerberg going to lure you away?
Oh, see, that's interesting.
That's the question.
Yeah. What do you guys think? The new Facebook messaging, and they're very clear not to say email, messaging system.
I got a question first. Does this mean that it's another place that people I don't want to hear from can bother me?
Yes. Yes. No, but in theory, I guess it's kind of like priority inbox in the sense that there will be an inbox that's just your friends, and then there's everybody else.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like the people who are super active on Facebook and who have a lot of interactions, so Facebook can figure out who's most important to you, will have the best experience with this.
The negative of it is that it's going to mix every. There's no subject. So it threads everything from one person as if it all came the same way. So there's IMs mixed in with messages, mixed in with chat. It's all, or whatever it is that, you know, it's all mixed together.
It's communication around people, not topics.
Right.
Which is the Facebook way to look at it, right?
Yeah. Do you think Facebook wants to replace email or thinks this is an adjunct?
I think, let's go back to, oh, dare I say it, Wave.
I knew this was going to happen. I'm sad.
I think what all these guys see is that email is broken horribly and not fixable. And so they're trying to figure out what's next. So Wave was one effort to do that on a collaborative basis. This is a way to do it on a social basis. As communication, you know, why is it so broken? And forget spam for a minute. You know, even with this, it's what I think I said this on the show last week. I die for the busy signal, right? I die for something that says, Jeff's busy, you can't talk to him now.
Right.
And instead, everybody thinks that, oh, all I need is 3 minutes. Well, why the hell didn't you respond to me, you bozo? I just needed 3 minutes. It's okay, right? And that's what our world is now, is everybody's getting a piece of you. And you can't escape.
You sound like an old man more and more.
I do.
You got a piece of me.
Did you ever wonder why?
Andy Rooney.
I'm right there with you, though. I really wish that I could have just sort of a global do not disturb sign every once in a while, especially when I'm like coding or writing. But now I'm with Jeff. I have a full rant about this.
I just ignore him.
But
yeah, well, I'm at that point too. Fred Wilson put a post up that said that he only responds to you if you end up in the priority inbox. And I realized I
that's
sent Fred
a bad
an email.
Thing to say. I don't know.
It is because I sent Fred an email inviting him to come as he comes once a year to my class. But I don't bother Fred because I know Fred doesn't like it. Right?
Right.
That means that I'm now underprioritized. If I'd been bugging Fred and he sent me email back saying bug off, I'd be higher up in his email.
Right.
But I get disincented from
that's
leaving him
point.
Alone.
Yeah, but all he has to do is mark you as important once. Like I have those people who know that I would just get inundated with email and send me a one good important email every once in a while. And you just have to be like, okay, that's important.
Right.
You know, so he's still got to be training it a little more. But I agree. I mean,
well, either that or he can't stand me and hates me and doesn't want to talk to me. And that's okay, Fred. Why?
It's funny because we've been trying to get Fred on too. I guess we're probably in that box with you.
Well, yeah, we're not in priority inbox either.
No.
You know, the thing that Wave tried to solve was group emails, right? It was like that horrible thing that happens when you have 10 people replying to all and branching off into different threads, right? Facebook messaging is about, I want to see the first message when I ask my significant other out on a date all the way up to the point where I'm telling her I got to go pick up the kids at soccer today, right? This idea of like having this entire record of history between two people, which is interesting. It's interesting. And you know, I kind of feel meh about it. I'm probably not going to use it. My family members who still use their AOL email addresses and who are very active on Facebook probably will use it. It makes a lot of sense for the platform, I think. But you know, I just don't trust Facebook to respect that archive of communications for me to put, you know, to give it all up to them.
But you do trust Google.
I feel a little suspicious of Google the more that they know about me, and we'll talk about later with one of their launches this week. But yeah, the products are so compelling and so good that yeah, I guess I have sort of decided to trust Google.
Have you started buying dresses on boutique.com?
No, I don't want to take away Leo's tool of the week.
Boutique.com? Is that a new Google?
You haven't seen it. Deal. Google started boutique.com. There's no Google branding on it anywhere. It's basically a search around fashion, celebrity, and taste. And so you go on and you go to Anna Paquin's page.
Is this it?
Anna,
is this it? This looks like a farm.
No, that's not it.
No, that's not it.
Did I spell boutique wrong?
It's plural.
Boutiques.
Boutiques.com.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Boutiques. So Anna Paquin tells them, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see Anna's page. I like Anna because I like, I don't know if
she's
there's anybody
great.
On there. Glee or not.
Sookie, no, True Blood and Glee, different ends of the same spectrum.
Indeed. Yeah, one, Blood and Death, the other show too.
Where does Walking Dead fit in that? I don't know.
So Anna tells them what she likes, and then Google comes back and says, well, if she likes this and you like that, you'll like this, and it recommends all kinds of things. And it abstracts what forms she likes, what colors she likes.
So I can follow her.
You can follow her.
I can follow her. Like a Twitter.
This is an entirely... I smell Marissa Meyer on this.
Oh yeah. But now when I log in, because it's not a, quote, Google property, it's not going to... I'm going to create a new account. There's not a Google
account. There's no branding on it anywhere. You can't find it. I mean, they did take credit for it on the blog.
Isn't that interesting? Why wouldn't they use the Google login?
It's very weird. I mean, you feel like you're shopping at Macy's. You know, like this is what... It looks like the Macy's website. There's no Google branding anywhere.
Except for the $3,000 dresses.
Are they really? Right. Do they have guy stuff?
Oh, yeah. Nope.
It's just women.
Yeah, this is for the ladies who are into fashion.
Well, I'm into fashion. Wait a minute, let me see.
I can tell, Leo. I can tell.
Yeah, I think I'm going to follow Jennifer and Debbie Mazur. I don't know. This is interesting. It's all movie stars.
Nobody on there from Glee, huh?
Not that I can see. Jennifer Goodwin is on.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
I like her a lot, too.
Yeah. Huh.
Carrie Mulligan. Yeah, this was kind of a weird launch, but this came out of the acquisition.
Like.com.
Right, which helps you kind of algorithmically associate patterns and colors and things. I am a fashion idiot, so I'm kind of, I don't know what's going on.
The three
here.
Of us use garanimals to match our wardrobes.
I was like, what t-shirt should I wear today? You know, before the show.
I used to work at Condé Nast. I kept the suits.
There you go. This, I would guess, is what we're seeing here is, in fact, I think Eric Schmidt alluded to this at Web 2.0 or somewhere recently. We're not really doing Google Me like an all-in-one Facebook site. We're just going to put social everywhere. Right? That's what they're doing, right?
Right. So here, by the way, you can have your own boutique. Gina, you can go on, make your boutique.
Yeah, it's social shopping.
T-shirts that you'll like because they found what you like.
I will fill it with Think Geek t-shirts.
But this is brilliant because, but what really I find most interesting is that Google did not attach to it. And I can only think that's because they think it would scare people off.
It's also inappropriate for the brand, right?
Google is not totally brand inappropriate.
Oh, I'm not going to buy, I'm not going to go, you know, boutique shopping with geeks.
Ooh, right.
So, and it shows you that Google knows how they're perceived, I guess. They're not perceived as a fashion-like brand.
I mean, look at it another way. Shouldn't Apple have done this?
Oh, yeah. But would Apple, but you know, I think Apple would have the same problem. I don't think Apple would want to brand it either.
No, I get what makes this work is, number one, search and understanding how to abstract concepts to make search work. And then number two, you're right, Leo. It's they're adding in the dash, the soupçon of social.
Yeah, following, and you can create your own thing. They've got popular. So these are the popular ones.
And here's the other interesting thing to me. I was at this meeting a week ago about the U.S. Postal Service I mentioned, and there was an expert there from the catalog world. And as we were talking, she asked me, well, what does this mean for catalogs? And I realized that the function that a catalog provides of curation is no longer necessary in that form, where they have a warehouse filled with stuff and they go buy it and merchandise it. Because I can now use Best Buy has an API. Do you know this, Leo?
No.
You could create tomorrow the Twit store on top of Best Buy's back end and fulfillment.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Isn't that cool?
So well, Amazon lets you do that too. I'm sorry. I'm just sharing these boots with my wife. Because. Oh, you have to log in to share. I got to create an account. Well, she wanted boots like this. She's been looking for them.
Such a good husband.
Oh, honey. Awesome. Kind of curious. She won't know the Google Connect or anything. I'm gonna watch carefully her reaction to this. Like, does she like this? Does she get it?
Yeah.
Would she, for instance, get her friends to and create followers and do all of that?
So you can imagine the exact same thing with home decoration.
Oh, yeah.
Window treatment style. You know, tile and other home building stuff, furniture, anything with taste. So what this means is, can Google get into taste, and is social and search the path there? And then on the economic side, what it means is that it's exactly like media, is that and eventually entertainment is, you skip by the old curators, the old channels, the store, and now Anna Paquin has a store. And a store from 100 different brands and designers.
Right.
That can be fulfilled. The only inconvenience to this, I don't know, I didn't look at it enough. I doubt you can probably do one checkout.
It'd be nice if you could do that. And of course, there's revenue opportunity, but maybe they don't want to even bother with that.
Well, because I know when I helped start, believe it or not, style.com.
You did?
Yeah.
That's good. My wife doesn't know that.
Of course I would have.
So here, somebody in the chat room pointed this out. This is kind of interesting. The only way you could figure out there's Google in this anywhere, it doesn't say it at the bottom or anything. Nope. You could, I bet, if you went to about, let's see if about us, no Google there. But if you go to the help, it pulls you to a help page. It says copyright 2010.
What's a Python file?
You get a Python help file.
Help.py.
Help.py.
Oh, that Google. Is aesthetic whiplash, isn't it?
Ow! Don't ask us for help, man.
There goes the soupçon of style.
Yeah. This is it.
Topic.py.
This is really bad. Okay. Well, Marissa, you could work on that. I'm sure you'll be very busy. It's interesting, though. I mean, they really, even in the About Us, it doesn't show Google.
Honestly, Marissa would be a perfect kind of spokesperson
go.
But that's not her thing.
No.
It's a personal thing.
She's in the fashion.
Oh, is she ever? Terms of service, beautifully and expensively.
Boutiques.com is operated by Google Incorporated. So you can, but you got to dig. I don't think that's obvious at all.
You know, it's all kinds of interesting things, not just jump around here, but Amazon did a thing today where they basically become kind of a movie packager where you can submit your movies to Amazon. Amazon will have a, kind of a contest. Then Amazon has a year and a half first refusal rights to take it to Warner Brothers.
Really?
Yeah. So you just see all these opportunities now where you cut out all the old middlemen. You know, what happened in newspapers is going to happen to every other middleman out there.
Right.
So you think everyone's going to have our kind of personal stores? Like, Leo and I think are one of the most popular people on appbrain.com, which is an Android, you know, an Android app kind of curation. I think just because we mentioned it on the show kind of when it was early. And Mozilla is building into... They're building kind of an app store, web app store, where people can kind of set up, like Lifehacker could set up like a, you know, list of recommended web apps. I mean, it sounds like this is kind of the same thing, but
And here's the best story, Gina, that I can give you. I talked to Philip Kaplan from Blippi.
PUD.
PUD. Mm-hmm. And he told the story, and I maybe have told it on the show before, if so I apologize, but PUD said that... Matt Cutts came in and bought that scale that you have, Leo.
Matt bought it first. He gets credit.
He gave Matt credit for the takeoff for the hockey stick.
Oh yeah,
and so that within a very short amount of time after Matt bought it, sorry, he did mention you, Leo, and said you didn't cause the virality. 100 people bought the scale.
Right. So now I sold a few of them. Maybe he didn't know through Blippi.
You'd be bitter.
But if you look on Twitter, there's a few scales that I might have inspired. Anyway, that's fine. Well, I don't need credit for some weight loss fad.
Scales, yeah.
Blippi, I think Blippi is not going to take off.
I think it's something that... Whether Blippi takes off or not, I think that PUD is on to something really important. And he went to the next level of what Beacon wanted to be and what, in a sense, Google's trying to do now. There is truly social shopping.
So for people who don't know, it's kind of a Twitter. It's a Twitter where your credit card is doing the tweeting.
Right.
Or your Amazon, your Apple, iTunes account, your eBay. So you sign up and you attach your accounts. And I've been posting here without even knowing... Frankly, because it's all automatic.
Really? You oh.
Yeah. Well, see, I just bought Google Voice, so I could say, yes, I recommend that. And there you go. And I could publish
So that. you tie Blippi into, the Best Buy API, say, and you can have a store going without even having to merchandise it. What you buy, you are recommending to others, and others will say, "Oh, I'll buy that too," and you get a cut of that.
Well, yeah, that would be nice.
Oh, there's a company I invested in called Covestor by a guy named the wonderfully named Ricky Tata. Isn't that a great name? So, Ricky,
you know Ricky Tata, and his nickname is Tots.
No, I just said Tots because of Glee.
Oh, okay.
Continue.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
There's a Glee connection to everything.
We're going to have to have a Glee.
In fact, our next story, there's a Glee connection, but go ahead.
So what this does is that I can, if you're a good investor, Gina, you can go on to Covestor. And again, full disclosure, as I invested, but it's a friend of mine. And you do whatever you want to do. He set up the structure so that I can put my money at my broker and it just follows you. It does whatever you do. And because of that, you make a cut. Now, my money never touch my money, actually. But you make money from basically becoming a one-woman mutual fund.
Well, that's just a pyramid. That's a pyramid marketing, right?
No, it's not. No, it's not because what's happening there is that Gina never touches any of my actual funds. They stay in Schwab or whatever. I'm following her. I'm literally following her. So when she buys Google, I buy Google. When she sells Google, I sell Google. And I don't have to do a thing. Because she's publicized herself as really good.
Is somebody doing this? Because this is brilliant.
Covestor.com.
Shoot.
Ricky Tata.
Yeah, that's interesting. Huh. Very interesting.
Right. And so now take that to... that.
Now there's money to be made. Now I can... I mean, for the follower, there's a reason to do this.
So now you do the same thing with Leo's electronics store.
Yep.
Right?
And or even just Leo's app store. Every time Leo installs an app on Android, I would love to just get a push down to me.
And I'd love to get 10 cents.
Right.
Bingo. Ka-ching.
Well, and we've done this, and this is that Mark Zuckerberg, no one wants to make lists. We've done this kind of, we have Twit recommendations, and it uses our Amazon affiliate code. It's too much work. Yeah. And that's why Blippi and I would guess Covestor and all these are smart because they're automatic.
Right. So you can start to follow. The whole idea of following that was so important, right, really takes off. So that's where Putt is on to something, I think. So whether it's done at Blippi or not, well, what should happen here is it's fairly obvious is that Zuckerberg should buy Blippi.
Yeah.
But
does he need Blippi? He doesn't really need Blippi.
No, he doesn't. The problem is with his privacy headaches of the past, that's going to be a really touchy thing. Yeah. Oh, you're going to trust Zuckerberg with your credit card, man?
Right.
Yeah.
Right? It's true. Somebody's going to get that.
And, it is. It's Beacon. You're right. This was the whole idea of Beacon. Yeah.
And when I interviewed him, you know, I said Beacon was just too early. He said, no, Beacon was a mistake. We did wrong with it. And he said that Blippi, you know, you're choosing to do it there. I think that's the big lesson he learned.
That's also why Blippi is not going to catch, because I think too many people say, no, I ain't doing that, even with Blippi. Who would you trust that data with? No one. Not Google, not Apple, not Facebook, not any big player.
Well, I trust it to a stupid credit card company and bank, and the banks are all corrupt.
Well, and that's why Gina and I ended up saying, okay, Mint's okay, because we know that it's the same intermediary that the banks use, so they already know all that. But
So Mint, that's smart.
Mint could do it.
Should buy Blippi.
Mint should buy Blippi. There you go, because they already have all the information.
Right. And then I can export my recommendations from Mintly to Twitter or Facebook or wherever I want, because it's in my interest now, because I'm going to make 10 cents every time you buy this wonderful shirt.
That's the key, is you got to make money for people, because they're not going to give you that information unless they see a real value to it.
Right, sure, I have this stuff about giving over your information to get free content. To hell with that. Give over your information.
Give me some money.
To make money.
Give me some money.
Now, of course, the problem is it then makes you suspect. Leo keeps shilling for blank, right. And
that's a good point.
Buys blank.
Right? That's a good point.
But then I'll stop buying. I'll stop following you.
Yeah, I also want some degree of curation. Like, I just because I bought something doesn't necessarily mean that it's proven. Like, I would like kind of a list of stuff that I bought and be like, yes, I did like this. No, I wouldn't have bought. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, that's what Blippi's asking for. They say they're very big on getting reviews of everything you buy.
Reviews later.
They bug you until you review it. Yeah.
Well, the other thing, important thing about Blippi is that it creates a transparent pricing marketplace. The opacity of pricing is over. Right, you just can't do that anymore. So that you're going to have to, companies are going to have to compete on quality and service.
This I like.
And so on. Yeah. So, but Blippi definitely tells you, at a minimum, this is what 100 people paid for this item and where I can go get it. Yeah. So, you know, when that happens, that has a drastic impact on commerce and the economy.
Right.
But Gina, I think the other thing you could do is you could have queries back. It's kind of like Quora, right? Gina bought these 10 things. I'm about to, you know, Gina bought this expensive thing. I then get to query you and say, did you like it? And if you got enough people querying you, you'll go to the trouble maybe of answering. And then that ups the credibility of that recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that happens manually all the time. People say, you bought this phone? What'd you think? Did you got the tab? What'd you think? Yep.
Well, Google,
because Leo buys everything.
Yeah, I do. Right. So I'm not as good as a, for, in fact, that's what
Gina
they said in the chat room.
Gina is very careful.
Right.
So when Gina buys, when Gina buys the tab, I'm buying that.
Yeah,
tab.
You want somebody who's very frugal.
Yeah, cheap. I think is really
cheap.
The word.
That's the word I was looking for.
What we're looking for.
Hey, look at this. Google Goggles is trying out ads. Here's another way Google's looking at making money. What's the story here?
You can take a picture of an ad for certain advertisers that they made a deal with, and then it brings up the web stuff, which is kind of funny in two ways. One is, do y'all remember the QCAT?
Yeah.
QCAT was this incredibly stupid thing. It was a barcode reader.
Radio Shack gave them away because they wanted people to use them.
You were supposed to read your newspaper next to the computer, wired in your computer, and scan. Why were you doing all this trouble? Because URLs were just
so hard to enter.
Type in.
Amazon.com.
And the other thing is, so that's why it reminds me of QCAT, and so I got to get that out of my head. But the second thing is, I wonder whether this corrupts search in a way. Because if I use Google Goggles purely, I could take a picture of a Buick ad and say, I want to make a search of Google for that. I don't want to go to the ad. I want to say, Internet, what do you know about the Buick? And that's how Google Goggles is. It's a pathway to search. And now if somebody can kind of What you're doing is you're buying the search result. Buick is buying a search result, and I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
Right, and it's not quite the same as a page of search results where there are sponsored links at the top, which are clearly marked. Isn't this just like a less geeky QR code? Right? I mean, this is just recognizing something that doesn't look like a box full of static.
I'm trying to understand how it works. It's a marketing experiment. Let's listen in.
I want to tell you about an interesting experiment.
Well, let's not listen in. Okay. I have a very short attention span. So you take a picture of a book. This is Goggles. And then Goggles would say, oh, here's the book. Here's where you can buy it. Amazon and so forth. So that's traditional. That's how Goggles has worked all along. Now you take a picture of an ad. It says, oh, and finds all the things in the ad, including the T-Mobile G2. Whoa, that's interesting.
Well, that's okay. All right.
Well, okay. And then, oh, look, I found a G2. And then what?
So it is just like sponsored links.
Yeah.
So well, it's pulling you.
I thought you went to the ad. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
It pulls you to a sponsored link for T-Mobile. T-Mobile's going to pay Google.
Oh, all right.
So that when you take a picture and you see a G2, the first hit.
Okay.
Is all an right. ad.
I saw some promotion for it that looked like it went straight to the ad. Okay, it skips a step.
Yeah.
Okay, so he just took a picture of an ad, of a Buick, and it's searching, and it takes you to Buick.com.
Oh, that's the problem.
Okay. So it looked like you had a choice there.
And the director of advertising promotion at Buick says, we like this a lot.
To then get a deeper what if what I want to see is the recall on the Buick and all the accidents being called?
Yeah. It's an interesting use of Google Goggles. I mean, that's not like that's a little bit different, right? It's not perverting search.
Well, but isn't it, Leo? If Google Goggles is just a visual search,
but it's not now. We're saying, well, what if it's not? What if I take a picture of Tron Legacy?
More and more users are conducting visual searches to explore the world around them.
They just call it a visual search.
We're looking forward to learning how to deliver the most meaningful and relevant visual
search and the most valuable to us.
I want your algorithm, not your sales guy, to tell me what's meaningful.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Interesting.
Watch it, Google. Watch it.
Well, they do say it's an experiment.
And why am I going to take a picture of an ad? I guess. No, I mean, I guess people are doing that more. I don't know. Do you either of you use Goggles very often?
Oh. Yeah.
Silent, shaking of the head. Negative.
No use for it. I have it.
I mean, if I saw a QR code, I'd pull it out. But we're nerds, so, and we know what a QR code is, and we know what to do with it. So, but. Okay.
Google, by the way, I want to clarify this, says you can enable push notifications in the Google Voice app on the iPhone for voicemail and text messages. So I'm not sure what that review that you were reading was meant when it said you couldn't. So just to clarify, we're going to move along here. Oh, my God. Gina just fell off the face of the earth. Well, while we attempt to recover Gina from the black hole into which she has tumbled, I would like to talk a little bit about our friends at Ford and the incredible Ford Edge, which is the most technologically sophisticated Ford on the lot. And I mean it. I drove it at Blog World. It was so much fun. Great design, beautiful aerodynamic exterior, but a very slick interior. In fact, it reminded me a little of my Mustang. I could see that the same designers had worked on it. It was very clean, sleek, spare. It has the Ford Touch, which means there are two screens behind the steering wheel on the dash that can be changed. So it was a tachometer and like the music application, but you could change them. And then it's got a great big screen. I think it was a 7 or 8 inch screen in the center console that your GPS and your other controls. The 8 inch touch screen in the center stack, which is just fantastic. We should not ignore the engine and the fuel efficiency. It's got that great 3.5-liter TI VCT V6 engine, 285 horses under the hood, and yet 27 miles highway miles to the gallon according to the EPA. You could also get the Sport with more horsepower, 305 and 280 foot pounds of torque. I love my Ford Touch. It's kind of Ford Sync on steroids. It's just really so great. Take a look at the Edge. If you're in the market for a larger car, we have good friends who are a self-admitted Ford family, which I love. I didn't even know it. It's funny. Until we started talking cars, I had no idea. And I said, oh, you're right. All you ever drive is a Ford. That's all I ever see you in. Yeah, we just got the Edge. We were looking for a car with great second-row legroom, and there is no car in its class with better second row legroom. It's just very comfortable for the people in the back. The panoramic Vista roof is an option. You can have it both in the front and then the fixed rear skylight, so the backseat folks get a little bit of light too. I love the Edge. Take a look at it. If you're in the market for a, what do you call it? Is it a sport utility vehicle? I guess it is.
Yeah.
Take a look at the Ford Edge. Unfortunately, now my wife took a look at it, and now that's what I have to get for her. Already. She's amazing. All right, Gina's back.
Sorry about that.
Not at all. I scared you away.
Internet doesn't like me.
Internet. So you won't like this. Here's the Glee story. So we've got a complete set now of networks that won't appear on Google TV, including Fox.
Bummer.
Now, Schmidt has a rationale, I don't know if rationale is the right word. He has something to say about the fact that a lot of networks now, in fact, all the major networks are blocking Google TV. He says, guys, you're cutting yourselves off from greater revenue potential. With Google TV, consumers would watch more of your programming. I guess that's true, right? Says the way to get more revenue is to create more revenue sources. The way to do that is through things like Google TV. He says, we don't want to drive television revenue to zero. We want to make the revenues larger. So why is it the networks are so afraid of putting their internet content on the television?
It's what we talked about last week. We're disintermediating the networks. We're going to get to our shows around networks. The networks right now still have the clutch on it, but it's not a big leap at all to see somebody of note.
Right.
You know, can the internet support Glee right now? No. Could it support Howard Stern? Yes. Could it support, an inexpensive sitcom? Yes. And so they can go directly to viewers around the networks, giving the networks not a cut of it at all. And the more in the habit we get of that, the better off the producers are and the worse off the networks are.
So I don't know if these are numbers of yours, but the U.S. consumers pay $70 billion a year in cable and satellite fees. $70 billion. So that's what's kind of at stake, because I guess you could just buy cheap internet instead of buying,
right,
the expensive cable and satellite. He says Google's talking with the industry. They're sharing data to help persuade broadcasters, ABC, CBS, NBC, and now Fox, to unblock. Hulu is also blocking, right? Hulu Plus doesn't work on Google TV. I got a boxy box because I wanted to compare it. It doesn't have anything either.
Yeah,
do you think this is YouTube blowback? Like, do you think this is the networks being like, oh, well, you don't help us pull down pirated content from YouTube fast enough, or you
they
didn't
do
for
now.
A while? They do too much, right?
They pull us down. I think they'll pull us down already for some of the things we've done on this show.
I still want to know how
CBS
they're doing
is putting
it
some up there.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it, that they can? What is it? It's now. I saw the new number, something like 34 hours a minute of videos being uploaded to YouTube. It's another huge number again, and somehow they mechanically go through everything looking for some sort of watermark. I would guess. I don't know, Gina, you're a programmer. You might know better than I, but I would guess that the networks provide signatures of some kind.
Oh, for them to figure out how to... No, I was saying, how are the networks blocking? I mean, they're not using the user agents.
How do they block it? Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, they're not using the user agents because you can change it and it still doesn't go.
Right. I'm curious about that. I mean, they're differentiating between screens. You know, like the screen in your living room isn't okay, but the one in your office is okay. It's strange.
It's just Chrome, and then you could tell it, I'm Chrome running on Windows XP.
Right. I mean, I'm just curious about the technical. There must be something.
Anybody in the chat room? They say it's based on the version number of the Flash plugin.
Oh. Well, that seems like something that would be easy to spoof. I know that this isn't the point, but.
That can't be right. They say it's the Flash plugin. The Flash plugins have user agents. So the same thing happened in Android, and you hack it. It's just not as easy to hack Flash, right? It's easy to change a user agent in Chrome.
Right.
It's a menu command, but you can't do it quite so easily. However, Adobe's going to continue to do that. They don't mind this, or do they?
Well, you know, the other thing is the publishers complain that when Google sends them audience, it's Rupert Murdoch says it's worthless audience because it's out of market or it's Rupert. One-stop wonder or whatever.
Yeah.
When Google TV sends a viewer to a show, it's great audience. Schmidt is right. It's exactly targeted. This is somebody who wants to watch the show. And nope, can't. Nope, sorry. Not because you came from there. Your friend Google recommended you. Oh, I don't trust you.
And also, they get so much more information about the viewer when you view it.
Yeah, that's, I think, what Eric's trying to say. He said, we're sharing the information we know about our audience with them.
Right, location, IP address.
Right.
One word, antitrust.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this is the networks acting as one.
Yeah, that's true. That is colluding, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, and Google's the victim. Everybody's scared of big old bad Google, but Google's the victim in this case, and thus are we.
Eric also showed off the new Nexus S. This is the replacement for the Nexus One, which is an HTC device. This one is from Samsung, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
yes.
It kind of has that Galaxy S feel to it. It will be a true Google phone. It'll be running on, or he was running it on T-Mobile. It has NFC features, which is kind of interesting. In fact, Schmidt says he thinks these phones will eventually replace credit cards.
So tell me, what's the difference between NFC and Bluetooth or any sort of... It's just a short-range kind of wireless transactional...
like RFID, isn't it? It's like an active RFID that can actually send data? No?
Okay.
Don't know.
They were saying that you could tap the phone and you could pay for something that way. And it is sort of like RFID. I guess with Bluetooth you have pairing, but that's basically this. You know, that's the idea, right?
Yeah, but it's shorter range. Bluetooth's 30 feet. NFC stands for near field communication. Let me look on Wikipedia. They say
it's like those cards. You know, on the subways. You guys wouldn't know what subways are here in California, but on the subways, I'm man of the people. You can just tap now.
No, I've heard that people ride around in a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not Chileans. Hey, I grew up in Brooklyn. Come on. Come on.
The Bronx is up and the battery's down. 10 centimeters. It's only 4 inches. That's the big difference. So, and that's important because if you have something with Bluetooth, that means everybody within 30 feet can receive your signal. This, you have to actually tap it or get it within 4 inches.
So let's do things like bump, right?
It is in fact related to RFID.
So now go back, pardon me, to Blippi. Right? Now your phone is your credit card. It's how you're buying everything.
And it has an internet connection.
And it has an internet connection. And it has this kind of connection. So that you can try to say, I want to tell the world about that. I want this delivered there. I want that. You know, forget the stores.
Yeah.
Stores are gone. Stores are toast. I went to Des Moines some time ago and was just amazed downtown. There were no stores. It wasn't a depressed downtown. It just there weren't any stores. And
that's
go back
depressing.
To this idea.
What was there? A lot of restaurants?
No, not even that. Just kind of boring office buildings and and a few drugstores. It was it. It was weird. But that's the future, I think. Because you can't the risk you have to go through to hold on to inventory in many, many locations is going to be very, very high.
We're going to turn into those fat slobs in Wally.
Oh,
riding around our little hover carriages.
Right, so, with virtual reality glasses on.
Now you see the ad, you tap the billboard and say, I want.
Give me that.
Yeah.
You don't even have to get out of your hover chair.
No.
Schmidt also said, clarified anyway, and I guess we knew this, Android is for touch devices, Chrome OS will be for keyboard devices. So that's why it's netbooks.
Oh.
That makes sense now, I get it.
No,
I think
does.
That's good that he articulated that difference.
Do you think they always saw that difference or they just made it up?
You know, when Jobs said that you don't interact, you know, touch devices, you can't interact with them kind of standing up, and that's why Airs are OS X. And
that makes sense.
I mean, that was the difference. So
apparently,
I
Apple's made the same distinction. That's what iOS is versus OS X.
Right, right.
I guess you got somebody here on Twitter, Fur9999, said, Jeff, Fox held out for $150 million for Cablevision. Why would they let Google have their content for free?
Did Fox get $150 million from
Cablevision? Oh, yeah, they did. This is the whole retransmission crap.
Oh, Cablevision. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Cablevision tried to hold out. And, you know, they couldn't forever, but they tried to. And
there's a difference.
But yeah, there is a difference.
Because that was the only way those people in Long Island, Connecticut, and New Jersey could get Fox 5. But Google TV is just one of a lot of choices, right?
Right. And
so who has the upper hand?
If Cablevision had held out, they never came to an agreement, wouldn't it be in Fox's interest to then be on Google TV?
More choices.
Yeah, it's against Cablevision should be the one who's fighting.
That's a good point.
The networks.
That's who
be
gets
going
disintermediated is the cable companies, not Yeah. Why are the content creators worried about it?
Because they're not content creators.
They're distributors.
They're another middleman.
Okay.
Right, the studio is eventually going to go directly.
So they say, okay, well, it's Domino's. So Cablevision or Comcast falls, becomes an internet service provider. At least they still have a business. What do we do?
It's taking a thread out of the sweater and starting to pull it.
Yeah, Matthew Weiner doesn't go to AMC to make Mad Men. He goes directly to, I don't know.
Here's the other big deal. The fact that, and I think, I don't know if I said this last week or not, but at the Quadrangle conference, you had Michael Eisner doing a deal with AOL. So this is the start of this. This is the unraveling the sweater where Eisner is making shows and AOL is going to have an exclusive on it rather than him going to AMC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, come back pretty soon. We got to get to our tips. Our tools, and our number of the week. Gina Trapani, Jeff Jarvis is here. Just a quick mention of our domain name service that we use and we recommend you use. You know I don't like the other guys. I don't like their ads. I don't like their attitude. I don't like their crappy website. In fact, they're all horrible. Just get a breath of fresh air. Go to twig.hover.com. It's clean. It's simple. They don't upsell you with a bunch of stuff. It's not 90 clicks before you check out. Twig.hover is as in cover, HOVER.com. I guess you could pronounce that Hoover, couldn't you? But it's not. It's Hover. Very clean, very simple, very easy. You can use it for a domain. They've got all, you know, all the biggies, .net, .com, .org, .biz, .info, .ca, .us, .cc, .tv, .bz, .me, .te. I never heard of some of these. Look at these. All the UK ones. You can have it... They don't do hosting, so don't look for them to upsell your hosting. They do mail forwarding, and they do DNS forwarding. And for $25, they'll transfer all your domains, make it very easy. I wish I had done that because those other guys locked my domain as soon as they saw that I wanted to move it off of theirs. They support webmail if you like. It's so great. HOVER. And by the way, if you use the offer code TWIG, you'll save 10% off your domains. And they build in things, too, which is nice, like the privacy, domain privacy. Because, you know, the other guys charge you for that. No, that's just, you get HOVER's privacy for free with Hover. Hover.com. Domain transfers are free, but they will charge $10 and give you another year past the current expiration date at the time of transfer. So that was nice. I thought that was a good deal. So go to twig.hover.com and use the offer code TWIG when you buy to get 10% off. Look at I don't have to upsell you on this. Just go there. There's the no-hold policy for calls made during business hours. It's from Two Cows. Used to be Domains Direct. Maybe you're used to them. HOVER. That's what we're transferring all of our stuff over. As soon as that paternalistic other company lets me. We shall remain nameless. They've got a new cute girl instead of the old cute girl, I noticed. I don't understand the connection between that and domain registration. I really don't. I'll never understand that. But that's
someone in the chat room is saying you should do an ad in a shower with a blonde and you can sell a lot more domains.
For the rest of this hot commercial, go to my website.
Steamy.
You know, I just resent it that I go there and there's nothing more hot. So it's like, come on.
Now, I want Leo in a towel in a bathroom doing an Old Spice style commercial for her.
Hey, if O'Doctor could do it, I could do it. I actually did. I was down at the radio station in Los Angeles that I started at KFI. And the Citrix, the GoToMeeting people were there. And they said, would you do a GoToMeeting ad for us? And I said, sure. They said, we need you to take off your clothes. I said, what? But it was Hollywood and I was young.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I thought of Jeff, actually. So they said, well, don't worry. We'll block. We'll go from, you know, here down to your knees with the thing. And then the ad copy something like, I'm meeting right now with GoToMeeting and I don't even have to get dressed for work or whatever. And then I did this. And then they sent me the sample, the thing. And the banner, instead of being here to here, started, it was kind of narrow. And I
it was a thong?
It was practically a thong. Go to meeting. And
thank God it's a long name.
Wow. No, they really could have just
been called. I'm Google image searching this right now. I mean, did it?
No, it's gone. No. I freaked out. I said, you can't use that. So they made the banner bigger. So now it's just neck down. But apparently there are bootleg copies floating around.
Somebody out there on the internet, you know you have that photo. God.
It was on YouTube.
Copy it.
It was on YouTube for like 3 seconds. There were only like 10 views before I got it pulled down. Thank God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, Gina, your tip of the week, my friend.
Tip of the week. This week, really simple one, but useful, especially for those of you who are getting the tab or have an iPad. Mobile editing in Google Docs.
Yay!
If you go to docs.google.com on iOS or Android, I think it's Froyo or better. You can hit an edit button and you can edit regular Google Docs. So they have already supported spreadsheets, editing spreadsheets, but now you can edit regular.
That's what fooled me, because I've been able to edit spreadsheets for a while because I have, you know, my Wii Rules spreadsheet in which I tell you which crop is the best to raise on your medieval farm on the iPad. But
now this is rolling out over the next couple of days. So hopefully by the time people hear this, it will work for them. I do not have the edit button yet, but it is coming out.
How you'll know. There'll be a button that says edit on your
Google
there'll
be
docs.
An edit button in your docs. And it's kind of as you type. So if you're typing on your phone, your collaborators will actually see your changes type as well.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really neat. Hallelujah. And that's on all mobile?
It's Android for your better and iOS. So it sounds like, you know, they're getting ready to release an Android tablet, because on a tablet, being able to edit Google Docs,
right,
big deal. And isn't it a pain to get docs up in the cloud from iPad, right? Don't you have to sync or email or Dropbox or something?
Or get a third-party app, really, is what you have
or
to get.
Or get a third-party app. So now you can edit docs from your iPad and Google Docs and have them just kind of sync to the cloud.
That's great.
Or just be in the cloud. They're not syncing you. They just live there.
Right. All right. We'll look for our edit button.
Yeah, look for that edit button.
Jeff, your number of the week.
100. That's how many pounds Bob Muse lost after he saw himself with a profile view in Google Street View. Take that, Germany. And he was so appalled at his weight that, according to the Telegraph, he had weighed 21 stone, 3 pounds. Chat room, how much is that? Anybody know what a stone is?
That's better than a Google calculator.
How much is a stone? And then he went down to 14 stone, otherwise known as 89 kilograms. Give me pounds!
So that's amazing. Yeah, what a stone. I mean, really, come on.
294 pounds.
How medieval can you get? So this is the picture that we saw on Google Street View, or he saw.
Saw himself.
Horrified him.
And it inspired him.
Oh my God, I'm fat! So he really
it's so funny, though, that they pixelated his face, but he knew that was his belly.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, every mother would recognize. That actually used to be the rule when I worked at NBC. The rule was, if your mother could recognize you in the picture, then you were not sufficiently obscured. And obviously, Google needs to follow that rule, because his mother could tell that was him, even though his face is blurred. But he's not German.
No, this is English.
That is actually fairly horrifying.
It is, but it's kind of great.
I can kind of understand. But when I applaud that he...
It's like owning that scale you bought, Leo. You know, it's kind of
it's
social
the same
pressure
idea.
On you,
yeah.
Right?
Didn't help me at all. Only more people know how fat I am. That's all. Is there an
public
after
shaming,
picture?
It works.
No, yeah.
No, I didn't see an after picture.
He joined a gym, started to exercise with a personal trainer, ate right. He'd lost 100 pounds. Wow. That's really a nice story. My tool of the week is something brand new from from Google. If you go to google.com, and this is confusing. It is not hot spot. It's hot pot, which is a Mongolian
like a soup
dish.
I'm gonna get it in
yeah,
Chinese restaurant.
I don't understand. But it is actually it's actually pretty cool, and it's clearly Google's response to Yelp. Google already has Google Places, and lots of businesses are in there. My business is in there. The first thing you should do if you have a business is make sure that your directory, it's free, is correct and all that. So these are all from places, and then you can very easily rate them. So I happen to like Lagunitas Brewing Company quite a bit. So I'm going to give it 5 stars. And then it says, you know, I'm going to say in my tip, just like Yelp, try the beer garden. And then you get to, now the food is very simple. It's not Zagat quality ratings here. It's either a happy face or a, but the, yeah. And the value is good. Okay, and then you publish this, and now there's a review. And you can see other people's reviews. You can follow friends, kind of like Latitude. You can see what your friends review. You can get recommendations.
Well, this is more their social than everything.
This is exactly it. When I go to Paris, you can be sure I'll be using this. This is a clever Google Hotpot. It is. And I see now what they're doing. They don't have to do Facebook. They have to just do a lot of little Facebooks.
So what's more, I mean, right now, this, Yelp, Facebook Places, and Foursquare, what else? And what's the travel one, Nike? I'm forgetting the name of it.
Travel one.
TripIt?
TripAdvisor, maybe.
TripAdvisor.
Yeah. Look at In-N-Out Burger. Everybody loves it. 20 fabulous reviews. Great wine list. Amazingly knowledgeable, helpful service. It's a hamburger joint. I don't think they got wine there. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Google.com, not Hotspot, Hotpot.
Sorry.
Have I been where?
The Chipotle.
No.
I just gave Twit Cottage in Petaluma 6 stars. I think you should too. You know, this launch was interesting, Hot Pot. You know, you kind of could tell that they learned something from Buzz. Like, you have to build your whole friends list again, and it tells you that you've got a public, all your reviews are public, and you have to you can set a different nickname. Right. Like, it seemed like they were super careful about the privacy settings, which I think
is
interesting.
Not the same, yeah. And I imagine that's true of boutiques and everywhere else. But is that in the long run really the best thing to do? I mean, don't we not want to have to make this list over and over and over again?
We don't. I hate being
Google especially wanted you to be able to export your friends?
I don't know. You'd think that you would want the same friends.
Right. You think that you would. It was also really, really good. I Google places on the go all the time. It was really good at showing me places that I've been or have been interested in.
That's an interesting thing. It uses your web history.
Yeah, it uses your web history. Yeah. So I had this moment of like, oh, Google knows so much about me. Look, it knows all these places around me that I like. So I had a moment of, you know, when you go to a therapist and you kind of confess all these secrets and then the therapist repeats them back to you and you're surprised. Like, that's kind of how I felt. Like, oh, yes, I have given you all this information.
I didn't know there were that many dungeons in San Diego. I'm just teasing. So I got a gift from Google because I did register Google Places. And, you know, the way they register it, that you can do it by phone, but if you don't have a phone number registered, they will send you a postcard, which you then enter the code in, and then it says, oh, yeah, you must really be at 8 Keller Street. So I guess that's how they're rewarding me. Here it is. It says, Google Places user at 8 Keller Street, inside a thank you gift from Google. I can only imagine what wonderful, I thought I saved it for the show. What wonderful gift. Thanks for helping keep Google Places up to date. A $100 gift card for Google Ads.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's nice. Here, don't use my gift card. Oh, go ahead. You all can use it. There you go. First person to use the $100 wins. All right. Did you get the screen grab? Wonder what happens now if 1,000 people all try to use that gift card.
You're going to be on a do not fly list before you know it.
By the way, we didn't talk about it here. I suppose you probably, as both as frequent flyers as I am, are as upset about the TSA regulations as everybody else seems to be. There is a great conversation that we had on Twit this week with O'Doctor and Brian Brushwood, and O'Doctor talking about the friendly search that he got according to the new rules coming out here. And apparently that's made it everywhere. It was on the Drudge Report. Hannity mentioned it. Been on radio stations all over the country. Of course, we get no traffic from it because everybody links, you know, their own copy of it. But
it's brand
I'll
building.
I disagree with you.
It's brand building.
Okay with it.
You think it's okay for them to stick their hand down your pants?
Well, yeah, I've been in Europe and they've done the round the belt thing.
It ain't round the belt, dude.
Well,
you understand it's not round the belt. They squeeze your genitals.
She
can't talk. She can't talk. But in fact,
being a teenager again.
If you refuse the x-ray, they are required to fondle you. How do you feel now?
I still
it ain't round the bell.
What's the name of it? Blame the bozo with the underwear bomb. You know, what are we going to do?
Well, and somebody, a number of people pointed out that if you have stored something in a body cavity, that none of these procedures will work. I don't know if I should be telling you.
Anil Dash wrote a good post today. The guy I feel sorry for
is the guy who has to do it.
The guy whose job that is.
Well, that's why National Opt-Out Day is going to be so much fun the day before Thanksgiving.
You know, that's really rude to do to people trying to go home to their grandma.
I know. I want to wait extra long to get home for Thanksgiving, for sure.
Yeah.
I just put on the rundown, I put a link in at the bottom. The Taiwanese animators have struck again on this topic.
Oh, okay. Well, let's watch that. Is it a video?
Yeah, it's a video.
All right. We'll watch that video as we close out the show. Jeff Jarvis is the author of What Would Google Do? And soon to be a major motion picture, but there will be another book, Public Parts.
I have an idea for that, a sitcom, but we'll get back.
A sitcom? What Would Google Do? The sitcom. He's also a blogger at buzzmachine.com. Thank you, Jeff, for being here. Really appreciate it. Gina Trapani blogs at smarterware.org when she's not giggling or listening to
shrieking or dancing.
Or
the mention
to
of Jeff's penis, which happens more than you think, is enough to send me into just giggles.
Well, if you thought
thank you very much, Ms. Trapani. Thank you very much. It makes you giggle.
They always laugh at my mighty sword, in the words of Randy Newman. We will leave you with this new TSA procedures spur airport rage from the Taiwanese animators. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next week on This Week. Oh, I should mention, go to twit.tv/bestof and vote for your best, favoritest moments from the past year of This Week in Google for our post-Christmas episode. It's going to be a best of for many of our shows, so you can vote for all your not vote, but just tell us what you thought was the best moment. And I think we had a couple today, actually. and we'll make a nice little compilation for you for the end of the year. Coming up at Tech News Today, and then right after Tech News Today at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, we are going to interview Kevin Kelly. His new book is What Technology Wants. Kevin, one of the founding editors of Wired Magazine, and a really smart, interesting thinker.
Great interview.
Yeah, I can't wait. Kevin Kelly coming up in about an hour on live.twit.tv. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Jeff. And now, Airport Rage. In Chinese, Americans are up in arms about the increasing use of full-body scanners at airports. I'll translate. I was a Chinese major, you know. Many say they are an invasion of privacy. Whoops. The TSA say the new measures are designed to foil the use of explosives not detectable by conventional metal detectors. Passengers who refuse a scan can get a pat down in a private room. A cell phone video of a passenger refusing both the scan and the pat down went viral. This actually is true. Critics say the enhanced security measures merely enrich former government officials with corporate interests. November 24th has been designated National Opt-Out Day by angry travelers. Oh, jeez. Nobody knows how far security measures will eventually go. And there's nude passengers in the
airport.
You're
making an ad.
Yeah, some people are already beginning to say the terrorists have won. What is this? Is this a...
Haven't you seen these guys? They make incredible videos all the time. They're hilarious.
Wow, that's great. Next Media.
Great stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Gina, bye, you should check your mailbox.
I will. Thanks, Leo.
There could be something very exciting in there, and I'll play you out just to make you feel. Bye-bye. See you later. Everybody.